that. Okay, so welcome everybody to the October 23rd meeting of the Use Case Realization Call. Today we're going to be talking about discussing and presenting on the Runtime Config DB use case, giving an overview and some slides going over some of the details there. So Andy, there is a meeting slotted for that. So whenever you think you're ready, you and Scott want to present that, you know, just let me know and I can schedule it in. So just so people know, the runtime config DB presentation will be given today. I don't know if, geez, what happened? That is annoying. Okay. You have to hover over it for a second. All right. Before I click. Okay. So we're going to be talking about the runtime config DB. And I see people are gathering. So we're slowly slowing down and people who are joining. Okay. Joanne joined. Okay. Guang. Okay. Okay. All right. I think I got everybody. I hope. Yeah. Okay. All right, so Joanne and I and Sandeep and others have been working on this runtime config DB component for the data persistency of runtime information. we've presented 6 times to the architecture committee, subcommittee now. The first 3 were just an overview and discussion, deep discussion, and then Joanne and I created a flow page and a component page. I'll upload these slides, by the way, to today's meeting, so you can download it. And I should probably just go quickly to the component description here, so you can see it. This is the component description, and so this is. You can also take a look at this. I'll copy it into the slides so you can see a description of it. Okay. Okay, so we volunteered to write up the high-level component description from the architecture wiki, which kind of describes these interfaces that basically every component provides, or these are sort of architecture reference links, as they say. So for example, runtime DB E1 means that's the when other pages and stuff reference this, that's the tag they're supposed to use, essentially. And then this runtime flow gives you a sense of what it is, its scope, how it's used, and we'll talk about some of these things also in today's call. Okay, so what is the runtime config DB? The purpose of the runtime config DB is that it's a place to store runtime configuration and operational information that specifically doesn't belong in ANI. So we had to keep adding that because we want to clarify that this is something that's independent and separate and different than ANEI. It of course also needs to track elements, XNFs and PNFs that come into and out of the system as well. But its main purpose is specifically to be separate and apart from ANEI. But also has to stress that even though it has the word config in it, which is just a legacy historical thing from how it's evolving, it's also meant to store operational information as well. So information that gets derived or composed or created from the operation of ONAP. So as ONAP goes through policies or figures out it needs to have some settings or whatnot, it can also store that kind of information. So it provides a runtime repository of data, so configuration and operational data, specifically not inventory information. so it allows ONAP platform components to plug in and access the data, allows for controllers and ANEI to keep in sync. And in the future, of course, there will be additional functions such as syncing data, allowing for golden parameter templating, lifecycle operations, recovery from crashes, history and auditing, and other functions, right? So at first, these are the basic functions are that it's a place to store operational configuration information. This whole use case kind of came up because the OFPCI Sun use case team was developing the use case and needed a place to store PCI information and cell information, but there were two other use cases also doing similar sorts of things. The CCVPN and BBS, there were other use cases that had the same sort of thing. We need to store information now to develop our use case that doesn't belong in ANEI. Again, specifically it's to can be used to store configuration information, and indeed in R6 it will be used probably mostly for just configuration parameters as it gets off the ground, and then operational parameters, meaning parameters that are set or discovered or created or known to ONAP only during operation, right? And then in the future, of course, we envision that it could be a place to store other things such as clamp, topology information, control loop information, operational views, and that sort of thing. So it's pretty clear after our architecture discussions that this will be intended to be a data lake, and I'll talk about that more as a data layer to other ONAP components. That we would want to sync between ONAP and XNFs, which opens the discussion of what's the source of truth. configuration functions in the future for lifecycle operations, as I just mentioned, and some of these other things that I already talked about. So access, obviously anything should be able to read from it, but essentially we're envisioning this runtime config.db component would be a standalone component, and it would write to itself under certain conditions, and I'll talk about that more in a second. Adding and deleting new components, I'll also talk about that in a bit. And then indexing, I have a whole slide on that. So just remember these sort of topics, reading and writing, syncing when new XNFs come and go, and how do we index stuff? Okay. So let me skip this for a second and go to the sort of visual overview that-
Hey, Ben, do you talk about reconciliation at all? As part of this?
You mean like when a piece of data needs to be reconciled, or which?
Yeah, when there's a conflict maybe between ANEI versus runtime DB.
Yeah, I'll get to that. Yep. Okay. So this gives a kind of high level overview that Joanne and I developed to kind of describe the runtime DB. So over here, conceptually, you have the runtime config DB sitting. It's a repository for runtime operational data, configuration information, other EXO inventory, not inventory information, and eventually logical and physical connections such as network topology type information. So in R7, there's likely to be another use case for topology management. and everything can read from it. So DCAE or other ONAP components, ANEI and other modules, anything can essentially read from it off the DMAP bus. But two, I'll bring your attention to two basic, maybe three basic cases where we're kind of using runtime DB. So first is CM notify, meaning that a PNF or VNF wants to send up some configuration information in a CM notify event that's just being specified actually in the VES 7.1 specification. So it's currently undergoing review and discussions and specification right now. So the CM notify VES event can basically send up a configuration information up to the DCA VES collector. It's received by DCAE and it publishes that CM notify onto the DMAP bus, and as a pub sub, you know, Kafka topic, the runtime DB component can read that information and update itself. Okay. In another case, and there are many, this really encompasses many sorts of things that can happen, right? But in a simple case, let's suppose SO determines from a request or some policy or some clamp or some action that, for example, configuration needs to be updated, right? So it works with the controller. It determines that I need to send something down to the PNF, for example, through Ansible or NetConf or maybe eventually Shelf. So for example, it sends down, needs to send down a NetConf thing down to the PNF. But at the same time, then runtime DB would also be interested in updating that information so it's up to date. And of course that may raise questions of what Andy just said, you know, race conditions and syncing and source of truth and that sort of thing. We'll come to that in a second. So ANI also doesn't so much write per se directly, but what happens is ANI, see, I have a slide for this later, but in a nutshell, ANI says, oh, you know, this XNF has gone away, or this XNF has been added. And what happens is it publishes on the DMAP bus that a new element has come or gone. And then, of course, all, not just runtime DB, but all components in ONAP can basically subscribe to that and say, you know, we have a new XNF, or an XNF has disappeared, and we update the runtime DB. And then, of course, the use case that started this whole thing of PCI SON use case and other components or other modules or other things, plugins in ONAP can also read and write to this as well. Joanne, did you want to add anything, or Sandeep, to what I said? Okay, any questions on this basic flow?
Okay. Ben.
Yes.
This is Yagong from now. Yes. I'm thinking about this. You know that there is an ONAP configuration use case, and the controller, CDS controller, will do this ONAP configuration. So after that, the configuration data will be returned by the level function or the YAM. And I'm asking, what is the sequence flow between the controller and the runtime DB?
The sequence between the controller and the runtime DB. This link here.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think I envision basically there are two basic cases, and there's a flow that's described in the what's going on. In the flow page, right? So basically a controller could send configuration information to the PNF. So it determines, the controller may determine that some configuration update is needed. This is, for example, is used in the OFSON PCI use case, among other things. So basically it publishes something on DMAP that something change has to happen. The runtime DB updates itself, and it also sends a configuration thing to the PNF or VNF through, say, NetConf or Ansible. And the other case is basically where the controller or some other microservice basically wants to just update runtime DB for whatever reason. So it could be the controller, but it could be some other ONAP component. And it determines through its operation, through an algorithm or through a policy or through a fault or whatever, that it wants to update the runtime DB, it can publish a DMAP operation, a DMAP message onto the DMAP bus to which runtime DB subscribes to and updates itself. Does that kind of answer your question?
Yes. So mean that is there any DMAP topic which has been finalized?
Yeah. So we're that will be worked. I think there'll be a DMAP topic for this will be created. I don't know if Sandeep, if you wanted to add anything on that. I mean,
Runtime DB essentially is a database system. So it has CRUD APIs, right? And those CRUD APIs, you can invoke directly, or you can invoke through, say, in a controller through DG, right? You can kind of use the REST API call node to do that. So that's the way kind of the database system Runtime DB gets updated. With respect to DMAP topics and all that, I think that's still work to be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again, it started as in the OFSON PCI as a pretty simple database essentially, and we would like to evolve it to this, to an actual component which is reading and writing off the DMAP bus. Yeah.
So some of this, let's see.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Let me clarify this. Okay, this is very important because you're going to doing the slicing. I also want to get in front of you and with the to the Swami too. So for your use case, right, when we get to the configuration data from a network device triggered by the CM notify event. So when we get the event, we go to NetCon EN, right, the SDNR controller put this information to the runtime configure DB. So for your use case, right, how do you leverage it? We can synchronize from this runtime DB use case with your use case. That's all my question to you. I know your question try to ask for.
Yeah, maybe sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, John. Yes, I think I'm not thinking about storing this configuration data in Frankfurt. But like, I think it's okay for that. It's a good idea to store that. And from my use case, and the controller will send the request to the network function or YAM, and the configuration data will be getting back from that the interface. So after that, I'm asking, is it the controller to send the DMAP topic, or just call the runtime DB interface directly?
There's two options in here. So the one we have so far into the Sun use case, so this there's a RESTful interface, right, from SDNR to the runtime DB. But this one, even the REST interface, we still need to enhance. But the Dublin release, the Sun use case, we talked to Martin last week. So it's just really simple data feeding. So if we use this RESTful interface, we have to enhance. Another method to say we use the DMAP, but we have to think about your use case, what you try to leverage from this runtime configure DB to your use case. That's why I would like to confirm with you too on this. All right.
I also have another question. For example, if you I think you right now in Dublin you have the cell something like cell schema in this DB. And from NM configuration, there will be other management objects like the deal function or the SUCP function, something like this. So it means that every management object should have the schema definition in this configure DB, or just a very high level data type like JSON string.
So I think we're going to get to that, and the whole onboarding stuff I'll get to in these slides. So just hold
now,
on.
No, let me finish this one, right? So I'm just make sure maybe we can take offline your use case, right? So the one we wouldn't get to onboarding part. We got right now in this release, we come from network piece from say whatever network yeah that come, we will get information from network device. So onboarding as trading, whatever you have, we can get in CISO package Ben just mentioned. I'm just say if your use case, this use case can be synchronized if we can be, you know, be helpful somehow. Yeah, we can take offline.
Yeah, why don't you take that offline, John? So okay,
yeah,
thanks. All right, and let's go on. Otherwise, we're going to run out of time here. All right. So we presented several times at the architecture subcommittee, three times, to just discuss and propose the concept of the runtime DB and describe what it is. And as a result, of course, we resulted in the component description page and the flow pages, which you saw a second ago, and I'll copy into this slide pack so you can have access to it. So one of the things that we wanted advice from the architecture subcommittee and the people who go there are, should this be its own separate standalone component, such as like SDNC or VFC or some, you know, other, among the other major components, or it kind of started off as part of the controller. So it's part of this whole CCSDK controller thing. And so it was natural to ask, should it be part of the controller? Should be part of CCSDK. So Yuri Malikov had sort of suggested maybe it should start here. But ultimately, we have since decided that and got approval from the architecture subcommittee that it can be its own standalone component. And the next step now for us is to actually write up a component proposal. So every component in ONAP, like ANEI and CLAMP, et cetera, have written up their own component proposals, so we got to do that next. Okay, this is a discussion about edge deployments, what happens when you have lots of data coming in, or how do you sync data and stuff. So let me just sort of skip that for a second. Like what Andy had asked earlier, there's going to be some kind of record element that essentially stores data, right, with the within the runtime DB, whatever that data is, and it'll be tagged, it'll be indexed somehow, and so that brings up questions like the source of truth. So, does the PNF own its data? Does ONAP own the data? Who owns what data, right? And I need to jump to this for a second. So basically, if you look at just a record element, right? So there's some parameters that are associated with an element or record element, and it'll have some kind of index in it. So, for example, that index will indicate that it belongs to some PNF, say PNF 106, and it could have some associations with it as well. So this will be important for things like topology management and things like that. For example, you can think of in the cell, a cell is a logical object. It's not a physical object. And so there could be logical other kinds of objects in this runtime config DB that's not an ANEI, for example, but a cell is a good example, right? A cell is a logical object. And I want to associate that cell or that logical object with an actual physical VNF or PNF. And I can make associations with it. I might say there can only be, you know, 32 of these logical objects associated with this thing. Or I might have other restrictions that say these kinds of objects can't be linked to it. So this is at least the concept. It may not all happen in Frankfurt, but this is the sort of concept of a record. So this is a view of ANEI. So this is a discussion where we're talking about the ANEI knows about some set of PNFs, and within ANEI, it has information on those PNFs, inventory information on those PNFs, and you would expect runtime DB to also have at least this set as well, right? So it knows about PNFs and or VNFs in the system, and we wanted to talk through what happens if an element disappears or appears, right? So the disappearing is a little complex but easier than the appearing case. So when a PNF disappears, ANAF publishes on the DMAP bus to which this subscribes that this PNF is gone, and then it would need to the runtime DB would need to update. It would need to update its records. So this has gone away, and its associations and links would need to be updated. And so there's some code. I hesitate to use the word logic, but basically there's something in the code that will update the records and its attendant links. When something gets added, that's a little bit more complex. A new PNF comes into the system, or for the very first time, you know, all the PNFs in the system come into view. ANAI has functions that allow you to query all of ANAI all at once. But slightly more complex questions come up. For example, what are the initial values that it may have? It turns out things kind of fall into three categories. Number one, there are things that that kind of overlap with ANAI. And again, it's supposed to be completely EXO inventory information you're storing, but things like PNF name, for example, you can envision might be used also by runtime DB. So there might be a couple of elements that essentially runtime DB mirrors off of ANAI. The second category are things that are that must be discovered operationally. So these sorts of things can't have an initial value when you first create it. They need to, they're only meaningful during operation or after ONAP has discovered something or a policy or algorithm has run. And the third class is maybe there could be things that are default values that are predefined, maybe perhaps by the vendor or by a schema. There might be some things when I create this, I need to set it to some initial value, 0 or whatever. Okay. So we were just talking about onboarding. So we've had a lot of discussions about, well, what happens during onboarding? Is there anything we need to do? What do we need to think about? What's meaningful right now during onboarding and during design time? So there's lots of things to think about. And this will evolve over time, I'm sure, as we start developing this and we have a better sense of what's accomplishable in R6. And as we also have started opening discussions with Ericsson, for example, this week, they may also be contributing stuff as well. So in general, in design time, lots of different vendors can bring on board an onboarding package. This is a view that of a slide that we made for the onboarding use case. Maybe I should zoom in on it if I can. Okay. What happened? Okay. So this is a view of what's in a PNF onboarding package. So there's a descriptor which describes which is a sort of a model provided by the vendor of a descriptor is driven by SOL001. And there can be a manifest file, which tells you where stuff is, and then a Tosca metadata, which gives you sort of header information on the onboarding package, you know, vendor and date and so forth. And then there's the VES event registration package, which tells you, which defines all the VES events, the PM dictionary, and then playbooks and Yang models for NetConf communications and other artifacts. And then SDC receives that and adds some other stuff, some other metadata and descriptors, licensing model, and other artifacts can be added at this point. So basically, during onboarding, all of these different things are loaded into SDC, into the SDC catalog. and then somebody goes to design time and they produce services and define services, of which a service, a CSAR package, is exported out of SDC, and we envision that this runtime config DB would eventually get this, oh, I should probably go to this slide here. So we envision that basically, you know, that this service user package, which is published on DMAP by SDC, would be received by the runtime DB component. And it can get, as a resource model, it can get all of these artifacts that are onboarded by vendors. So I should probably copy this here. And maybe not initially in R6, but you can envision that there might be specific settings or specific parameters, configuration or operational information that I might want to tailor the runtime DB to. So for example, maybe, you know, Ericsson has some value for, you know, some parameter that I want runtime DB to know about. And I can set up the runtime DB schema to be aware of that. Okay. In this example, we were just kind of talking about mechanical and electrical tilt, and those are things that maybe could be defined. And you can envision also, this is probably something that applies to all wireless RAN vendors, and this might be something that all PNFs might support. So I might just kind of hard code that into the schema of the runtime DB. And we've also talked, it'll in the first release, the schema for the sorts of things this will support are probably going to be predetermined ahead of time just to make this work. But in the future, of course, we would probably want that schema to be more dynamic, to incorporate various vendor-related information that would come in from their onboarding package. So during design time, essentially somebody's going to be setting up the schema. Somebody's going to be setting up these records, basically, that runtime DB understands. we'll see how much can get done in R6, but this might be a predefined in R6. So it says, you know, the runtime DB only supports this parameter, and this parameter for all the records, or only supports these kinds of objects. So that'll obviously evolve over time, and the idea is that we want to set up the infrastructure as best we can in R6 to make the solution as future-proof as possible. But of course, there's only so many people and so much time. So we've started discussions around that as well. Okay, so this is more a different view as we were talking about this. These are some other, this was a discussion I had with the ANEI team, where they were talking about how to write in information to the ANEI database, and how other use cases had used this. And so we wanted to just understand some background information, essentially, of where this might be used and how information comes into ANEI. And I think for ANEI, the main thing that we need from this is that when ANEI publishes something as appeared or disappeared, that we're able to sync up, and we have met with ANEI to make sure that happens properly. So I mentioned a couple other use cases. Remember CCVPN, OFS on PCI and BBS. So these are the use cases and the type of stuff they were storing. So essentially, this is kind of a driver for the need arose, the raison d'etre for why we needed this runtime config DB. CCVPN was storing input parameters, fields for service instance information. The OFS PCI SAN use case was storing PCI values and config values, of which I have a slide on slide 21 here. And the BBS use case was storing the ONT PON UNI registration information. So these are the sorts of EXO inventory, non-inventory information that various use cases were using and will continue to use, right? So you can see that these aren't going to go away, and hopefully all of these will eventually be using the runtime config DB as its solution. So the OFSON PCI use case here, and there are probably people from this use case that can speak to this better than I can. But basically, so in a nutshell, let's see, where do I begin? So self-optimizing networks is a function which has three basic ideas, right? Self-optimization, self-configuration, and self-healing. So that are those are the three vectors of that define SAN. And the idea is to make the system, you know, networks smarter, to be able to configure themselves, to be able to automatically update information about themselves, and to self-heal. So when things go wrong, to fix problems. So one of the things, you know, there are many cells in a 5G network. So 100,000 times the capacity. You know, we expect a rough back of the envelope calculation, about 10 times the number of cells that exist in 4G. As cells are short range, like 100 meters, right? You're going to be a lot of cells, right? And so this use case is about basically cells have physical cell identifiers, and when I need to assign these cells so they don't collide. And they're unique and different. And of course, I need to assign them somehow, and it would be nice to assign them automatically. And that's where this config.db, it stores and interacts with this use case to be able to store those values that it determines. And as it determines as new cells come into existence, how to update those dynamically and store them through this config.db. And of course, that means I need to store the identity of the cell, the actual PCI values, and you know the cell numbers and things like that. Okay, did anybody from the SAN PCI use case want to add anything to what I said? It's kind of a quick few minute overview of that. Okay. So let's see. This is the so they originally used this MariaDB solution, which has a REST interface to be able to directly read to this thing. And they developed some APIs to be able to interact with this. Sandeep mentioned, you know, it's a CRUD operation that you can access this database with. And, you know, our vision of using DMAP, of course, is a vision. So we hope that eventually that, you know, we're hoping that that will be the architecture that gets used, because then it will be a true data layer to other ONAP components, as we have described and have been discussed in the architecture subcommittee. Okay, so these are some of the values that were used in the actual data models that were used in the runtime config.db currently in this all of SAN PCI use case. So just an example of some values that were currently used in this original R4 release for the all of SAN PCI use case. Okay. So let's see, that's kind of it in a nutshell, I would say. And we, maybe now it's useful to go to here. So what are we trying to do in R6? You know, we want to lay down the it'll take, clearly this is a multi-release effort, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. We want to lay down enough of the groundwork that, just to discuss that this should be a data lake, you know, a common service, a data layer. I mean, that took 2 months just to say, okay, this can be a data layer thing, a new component in the common service, right? So things don't move that quickly. And we're still doing that, right? We still have to do the write-up and so forth. So it takes a lot of time to hash out some of these foundational things. So in this R6, of course, we want to identify an actual boots of the ground use case for this thing. And I see that the OFSAN PCI use case, this is a use case that will certainly use the runtime config.db. I described two other use cases, and they may evolve as well. But this will be an extension, I think, of what's done there. They will hopefully evolve their solution and use the new architecture or whatever, you know, evolution of the architecture that we put in place. So another possible use of this is when we're providing a real-time instance of a 5G RAN network configuration data. So we obviously everything we're doing is working towards actually turning up a real live 5G base station eventually, right, into working with ONAP. And that's not going to happen overnight. There's going to be lots of steps that need to happen to make that happen. And of course, one of those things is, let's take a look at some maybe actual configuration data that, that we would need to put in place. And then obviously just creating the actual runtime, you know, the base code or the base container for this runtime config.db, that this new component, just there's going to be a lot of foundational work that needs to happen to be put in place, because right now it's not a it's not its own component, right? It's a subpart of the controller code. And then here we're describing developing the netconf yang 01 interfaces, developing the best notifications. So these are these two pathways that I described. So ideally we have the CM notify, which Marcellus is working to with Alec Gupta to be accepted, the CM notify event into the best event 7.1 package, and get that whole pathway working into, you know, this whole pathway here from the CM notify up through DCAE and the VES collector into runtime DB. And another is I have some configuration information that I want to send back to the XNF and through netconf 01 for an 01 function back to the PNF and take that information and update it to the runtime DB. Okay, so those are the basic things I think we're trying to do. Joanne, did you want to add anything, or Sandeep? Okay, so we have a few minutes left for questions, and we'll also touch base on some of the next following meetings as well here. Any questions on anything? Okay, if not, I'm gonna step forward a little bit to the component work. So again, Joanne, Marge and I and others, you know, work to define this component page where we're describing this, all of the components in the architecture. You know, if you go to this page, it describes a bunch of all the components in ONNET basically. And so basically this describes eventually this runtime DB, maybe not initially, but it will be able to or should be able to receive a package from SDC and many other components. Essentially every component in ONNET could interface with the runtime DB. And there should be some sort of external GUI that somebody in operations can look and see what's in runtime DB. It's a repository for data. It's readable from any component. It's a common service data layer function. It can sync data and will eventually enable a lot of other functions, right, that we discussed already. And this SDCE stands for external interface. So there's seven other, you know, link. The number here identifies what SDC's connecting to, right? So you can see that we eventually want to be able to receive essentially an output CSER package across DMAP for this. Okay, and then you can look at this flow page, some of the flows that we worked on. So a basic, the CM notify flow. So the PNF emits a CM notify event, VES event, it's received by the collector. that VES event comes across the DMAP bus of which the runtime DB subscribes to and then updates its information. The ANEI flow, where basically an XNF appears or disappears or is added or deleted, ANEI itself detects that something needs to happen, and that an update needs to happen. ANEI publishes that update and runtime DB subscribes to it. And I talked about the complexity of removal and addition. Removing is removing that record, but then when we add, there's those three things that trying to set up a new element may have some complexity because some information may come from ANEI or others need to be discovered during operation. And some things may have default values, perhaps from a schema. I talked about also the flow when any ONAP component or a controller determines that something needs to be updated. I publish a notification for that update. Runtime DB subscribes to that and updates the appropriate parameter. And then finally, I mentioned this also as well briefly, that a controller needs to send a configuration update. So there's some configuration parameter that needs to be sent to the VNF or PNF. And so there's a couple steps here. One, you know, this is about updating the runtime DB, and this is about sending the actual configuration to the XNF. Okay, any questions on the flows or the component description? Okay, great. So I'm just gonna add here a couple other people joined. Not sure which Yang Shu it is. Okay. Martin, Tony, Rebecca. Okay. All right. So just in our table of things here, let me just put in the links. I'll upload the slides here so everybody can get access to them. But
you miss me, Ben, but when you
Oh yes, update. Right. Thanks, Sorry. Marge. Right. Hi, Marge. Thanks. Okay. So let me put this in. We're here. Okay, so component flows. It's the component. Here's the flow. And of whoa. Oops. Shoot. I think maybe. Let's see if I go to just the high level flow. I think. No, give me the top page. All right. Okay, and then of course the actual use case would probably be a good idea to copy in here. should be this one here. Okay. All right. So some of the upcoming meetings we have next week, we'll have a one-on-one with the OF PTL, Shankar, who's back from vacation, this week, but I wanted to give him a week to sort of catch up on stuff. So we'll be going over with the PTL, much like we did with ANEI and DCAE and VID and SDC. We had discussions with the PTL. So if you have questions on your use case for OF, come to them in this next meeting. If your use case impacts OF, of course, please attend. Sashu, I'm going to meet separately with Sashu and then because he has an overlapping meeting, he'll attend one of these calls as well eventually to discuss the SO impacts. There are lots of use cases that impact SO, so I'll create another table, of course, for all the impacts. David McBride is our new release manager, release coordinator, and he's got a lot of good ideas of how to coordinate stuff. And they may be moving away from this release requirements page, like you see here, into a more Jira dashboard type oriented page. We've also had a number of questions, like Joanne and I met with him earlier this week just to understand, so like creating tickets and stuff off of REQ1. And for some people that might not be so obvious or may not be too familiar with that, I just wanted to give him a chance to present. So he was going to meet with the TSC and he'll come back to me on that. And we just did this today, so I'm just going to actually copy this up to here. Oops. Let me just delete this row. Okay, and then Andy, who's also here on the call, eventually for R7, not for R6, but we wanted to have a discussion on the new use case templates that are coming down the pipe. there was some really good there were some really good new ideas I saw in this in these use case templates that makes a lot of sense and be good for also for the modeling. Also, Tracy, we want to have another session before December 2, obviously, for the POC, the PlugFest planning. Tracy, who's on the call, when do you think that would be good to do that? When do you feel would be another good time to sync up or discuss on the POC? Tracy, are you there? I see you're connected on the call. Okay, so I'm just going to put it in here. We probably want to have another meeting at some point before the actual POC, just for sort of final, final preparations and stuff. So I assume that'll be probably sometime in November. So last time we discussed the this PlugFest happening in December, in the first week of December, and Tracy went over what it was and the use cases, and we had a lot of really good questions and answers session. Was actually still probably here because I just cut and pasted the page. So we talked about the audience, things we already demoed, and we're using simulators and slideware and commitments from vendors and where we would be demoing stuff and would there be a page and stuff. So I don't know if Martin or Tracy, you wanted to add anything to that or quickly report on what's going on there. But I would say we would should probably have another sync up on the PlugFest. Okay, I'm just gonna delete it from here because it was on last week's call here.
I just edit here the links to.
There's a new web page. Great. Okay, excellent. Let me just add it in here. Okay, great. Let me put it in the thing here. I don't see it in the chat. Did you put it in the chat?
No, I updated it in the slide. So there was a
question. Oh, I see. Yes. Right. About what page. Yeah. Page.
Exactly. Okay.
Great. Okay. I'm just going to quickly publish this so I don't lose the information. Okay. Andy, are you still on? Andy?
Yeah, I'm here.
Did you have an idea of when you might want to present the talk about
So what day options do you have other than this Wednesday call? Do you have other calls?
Do I have other calls where?
Do you have other weekly? Is Wednesday the only day of the week you meet with this?
So potentially you could present at Ella's use case call. That happens on Mondays. You could also present on the 5G use case call, although that doesn't hit all the use case people, but it does hit the 5G use case people. So
when is that on Thursday?
That's on Thursday at 10 a.m.
Eastern
Standard Time, yeah.
It's about the same time TSC. Yeah, that may work.
It's right after the TSC. Well, usually it kind of overlaps with the TSC. But
TSC starts at 10 a.m. Eastern.
Or sorry, it's at 11 then. 11, 1 hour after into the TSC call. Yeah.
Yeah, that may work. Not this week, but maybe next week.
Sure. Okay.
Just shoot me a reminder.
I don't think it's super high priority, right? I mean, we want to maybe...
let's start discussing it. I guess.
It that's also going to take a while, right? That's not a quick thing to resolve either. So,
but if we can start using it, it could help us identify
absolutely right
relationships
right.
to the model.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, are there any other people that want to present? Did the network slicing team want to present their consolidated use case?
Ben. I was just going to say that probably sometime maybe third week or fourth week of November. Ben.
Okay, right.
Once we finish all the discussions with the PDLs and then.
That's a good idea, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Then I think we'll be presenting it. Probably you can put tentatively around 1 minute. I'm just looking up the date. You could put probably 20th of November.
Okay. Okay, great. And let me see. So next week is M1. Next week, I think it's the 31st. So next week, Thursday, is supposedly the M1 deadline. So this past week and a half or so, I had gotten a lot of emails about getting all our I's dotted and T's crossed for this page here. So hopefully everybody is green here.
One small update for the network slicing. I think it will be we have to move it from the requirements list to the use cases list, Ben. Because I think this is the first time, right, that this use case is coming up.
Yeah.
So maybe if it's okay, then I can move it along with making the updates for the commitments and so on.
Sure. Yeah. I think that's a good idea. Okay. So let me just shrink 1, 2, 3. Okay. So basically you see if there's anything red here for use cases, you want to make sure that that's not red. I did find out that, the reason why the TSC marked it as red is you need to say per component, basically. Let me find one that did it right. Here, for example, Nokia commits to DCA, SO, and VID. This is how you should specify it, like for each of these components that has an impact, that some company commits to, you know, component A, component B, component C. So I expect this eventually should be to be unreaded. That's basically what you need to do. Catherine Lefebvre just went through all of these that didn't have a company component per commitment to say, you know, so this up here represents that the PTL commits to it, and this below that should be the company commit, you know, some company is committed to doing some part of this work. Okay, so if you see your use case is red for some reason, you know, that's probably why. Going through this, I think that most of the reds dealt with that. Sometimes there wasn't an integration lead that was identified, so that's marked as red. But if for your use case, you know, if you see red on it, you want to address that as soon as you can by next week. Okay, and these were used. This page is used by the TSC to give each of the use cases a priority. So the use case the TSC basically gives guidance to say this use case is important. It has a certain level of priority in the release. And if there's a call of what can be done or can't be done because of limited resources or whatever, that's the idea is that they can use that priority to make decisions. Okay. All right, any last thoughts or questions on anything? We're about at time here, so we're over time. Okay, if not, thank you, everybody. 1, 2, 3. Thank you, everybody, for joining. I hope you found this useful, and I will upload the recording and send out the links to everybody after the call. Have a good day. Thanks. Bye.